Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
We want to move straight into the Word of God and ask our custom is we want to take our anchor scriptures. Our first reading will be taken from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 18. Hallelujah. Is the media helping us with that? 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 18 to 21. And there withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, can you get me the New King James? I should use my own. Okay. The media said we should read from our own Bible. So open your Bible, all of you. Now, should I even say we should open your Bible? Please punch your Bible. This generation will punch their Bible. Hallelujah. And let's all go to the New King James Version and go to the book of 2 Chronicles. The Chronicles of Kings. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 18. And there withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, besides the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead was leprosy. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. Then verse 21, our last reading. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Hallelujah. Very interesting and a very unpleasant ending of a person's life. Let's take our second reading from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Can we still be helped over there? Okay, good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Are we still live? Are we live? Okay, so have you shared it? Okay, good. All right. So 2 Corinthians, the chapter 10, verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed unto us. Do you have the New King James? Or is the King James? Okay, let's do it. A measure to reach even unto you. Let's go verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we come as far as to also in preaching the gospel of Christ. The verse 15, our last reading. Not boasting of things without our measure, but is of other men's labors. But having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Hallelujah. King James. Let's take our last reading. Matthew chapter 22. The gospel according to Apostle Matthew. The chapter 22. The verse 14. We are all reading together as the custom has been. Matthew chapter 22. The verse 14. Can we? Very popular scripture. What is that? For many are called, but few are chosen. Together, let's take it again. But many are called, few are chosen. This reminds me of something in our school, APAM. But I'll not share it today. It pleases the Lord that we still continue on the matter of other anointed. And we are on our fourth sub-series called Catch the Anointing. And today we want to look at the message titled The Anointing and the Callings of God. The Anointing and the Callings of God. Let's move into the Word of God. Okay. All right. So one of the key things I have purposed to do under this series, Catch the Anointing, is to outline some very resourceful knowledge that many take lightly as they seek to be anointed. You see, one of the things that affect us in this Christian faith is that there are many things we want to lay hold of in the kingdom without knowledge of it. But if you study scriptures and you take note of the things of God, you find out that knowledge is essential to everything you want to do in the kingdom. So most times it's not about laying hold of the thing, but the knowledge to even handle it is very essential. Do you know that the blessings of God can destroy you? How many of you know that? Yes. The blessings of God can destroy you. So knowledge is very essential in anything that we do. And as we are pursuing the concept of the anointing, because what we have gotten to, the whole deal is what? Catch the anointing. So before I go into catching the anointing, the mechanisms and ways by which you catch the anointing, it's very imperative that we find out the knowledge that is needed as we seek to catch anointing, so that we don't catch anointing and become the victims of the anointing we have what? We have caught. Are you with me? Good. Therefore, in our quest to know how to catch an anointing, it's very important to gain some essential understanding before we begin to engage the mechanism that will help us tap all forms of anointing. And that is what we started last week, as I spoke about things that are needed to be in place before you qualify to catch an anointing or to upgrade in the anointing of your life. So what I started last 3 weeks, I introduced you to catch the anointing. But I've decided that before we continue on the mechanism on how to catch the anointing, there are certain things we need to know before we catch the anointing. Now, last week, one of the things I spoke about, which is very important, is the prerequisite essentials that everybody needs to catch anointing at every level of life. And there were 4 things. Number 1, servanthood. Number 2, faithfulness. Number 3, sacrifice. And the 4th one is diligence in spiritual practices. These are non-negotiable factors whenever you have to catch an anointing. Whenever you want to catch an anointing, you must make sure that these 4 non-negotiable factors are in place. If you don't have one of them, you can't catch an anointing. And if you have any anointing working on you, you are a suspect. That source of that anointing is not from God. We have to examine it. Because it's not only God that can empower people, the devil too. Are you with me? So if we break certain protocols, and then we think that we don't abide by certain protocols of the things of God, and still can lay hold of certain things, no, we will end up laying hold on the familiar things. Things that may look like it is the brass instead of what? The gold. So the first thing I spoke about, which is very essential to the pursuit of anointing, is the prerequisite factors that everybody must arm themselves with before they even think of catching or tapping an anointing. So the question is, your desire to be anointed, your willingness to seek an anointing, do you have the spirit of servanthood? Are you a faithful servant? Are you faithful in the few things that God has given you? Are you willing to pay the price required of the anointing you are desiring? Are you willing to make the sacrifices? And are you diligent, consistency, and commitment to spiritual practices that are essential to the use of the anointing? Do you have it? So you cannot be somebody who have your quiet time once every week and wants to be anointed like Archbishop Duncan Williams. How can that even work? You are not diligent. So if that anointing, you tap it, you cannot use it. In fact, you will be deficient in it. And that is why you're going to have issues. So our effectiveness and efficiency, these things are prerequisites. We need them. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Amen. Today, there is another factor too that I want to bring to our knowledge, all of us, including me, with requirement to catching the anointing. Very important. And today, I want us to look at another relevant knowledge when it comes to the anointing, which is called the callings of God. The callings of God. Now, what we're going to do today is to help us understand the various reasons or the reasons why there are levels of the manifestations of the anointing regarding the power of God among Christians, even though it is the same Holy Spirit working in us and upon us. The reason why two Christians can be at the same place, the Holy Spirit is working in them and upon them, but you see a different level of manifestations of the power of God in their life, is because of this concept called the callings of God. And it's very essential, because as we desire that there will be, the power of God will be released more in us, we want to see more manifestations of God's power, we must also know that this has an implication on the dimensions of the callings of God we are handling at a particular time. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? Oh, church, are you with me? Oh, you are soaking the message. You are soaking it. Relax. You and I, let's flow together. Hallelujah. Okay. So if you can recall, when we were talking about another measure, another 1,000, when we use Ezekiel's experience to talk about the levels of the anointing, there were four levels of anointing that was spelled out. Do you remember them? The first one, the abiding anointing. The second one was the fourth taste of the anointing. The third one was the full taste or specific anointing. And the fourth one was the special anointing. And these levels of anointing, we spoke under another measure, another 1,000, talk about the various levels of the manifestations of the anointing. These four levels of the anointing is because of the four levels of calling that God will call any individual in their Christian journey. That is all. So you saw that the key thing here was what? A measure. And then he was what? Held. So the measure and being brought through is what the calling is about. Then he's able to hit another dimension. So if you remember very, very well, when we were doing another measure, another 1,000, I said I'll come back to this thing. The levels of what? Anointing. I made mention of it because it is very relevant when we want to catch an anointing. So now let's move on. Therefore, when you want to catch an anointing, it is very important to know which level that anointing belongs to. And also, if you have been called by God into that level which the anointing is meant for. So if you are desiring a specific anointing, to catch a specific anointing level, it is very important to find out that, do you qualify? Are you operating in that level of calling for that specific anointing to work on you? It's very important. Why is it important? Because assuming a call or a claim of anointing you don't qualify has serious repercussions. Especially, there are two dimensions of callings that you shouldn't try that with. Number one, governmental calls, and then the elder statesman call. I'll explain them. Now that brings me to our first reading in the book of 2 Chronicles. The reason why I am talking about it, because some of us, we are praying for the anointing of Archbishop Danka Williams. It's good, but the question is, do you qualify for that anointing? Some of us are calling ourselves apostles and prophets, and we assume that we have the anointing to make decrees and do all kinds of things. The question is, have we qualified for it? Because the moment you assume and project yourself that you have the capabilities of a particular calling and an anointing without you not actually belonging to it, there is a price. You pay for it. Do you remember? Let's go back to our first reading. If you have any other version apart from the KJV, give it to me, okay? So in 2 Chronicles, there was a king called King what? Uzziah. This king was anointed or called into the office of a king, not a priest. Now, if you look in the Bible, it was only David who had the callings into the three kinds of what? Offices. Are you following me? But this king thought that because I am a king and I'm anointed, I can assume other offices. So, listen to what he said. Our first reading, are you with me? Or media, are you with me? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Thank you. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appeared not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. Are you following? But to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. They, not you. So the king came with incense and said, oh, me, because I've also been anointed, I have an anointing, I want to do this. But they said, no, they withstood him. That, good. Burn incense and go out of what? The sanctuary. For that has trespassed. The key thing is what? Trespassed. Neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. There are many of us who are trespassing. Let's continue. Verse 19. What happened? Then Uzziah was angry. The Bible says he wrought. And he had censer in his hand. Still, he wanted to do it. To burn incense. And while he was wrought with the priest, the lepros even rose up in his forehead. Obvious. Leprosy. There are many leprous Christians. What is that? Why did he catch leprosy? Because he assumed a calling and an anointing which God has not called him into. And therefore the man paid the price. The man not paid the price. Callings are orchestrated by God such that you can't assume any call in the body of Christ at your own will. So in our second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, Paul said that even though we want to do something, it has been measured unto us. It has been what? Measured unto us. Now let's read another scripture that is very important with this. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 to 11. And if you have any other, if you have NIV, give me the NIV version, okay? It's only King James version you have. All right, okay, no problem. Let's continue with King James. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as God stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, watch what he said. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability. This ability here talks about the anointing. The ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So if you do anything beyond your ability, you have trespassed and you are trying to become like King Uzziah. So whilst we are desiring an anointing, it is right that we desire within the scope of our calling. Are you with me? And I'm going to show you that callings. You don't desire anointing beyond the scope of your calling. At a particular time, you must desire the anointing because it is that scope of your calling that the ability will be made available. So the calling of Uzziah was to stay a king. But the man thought that he can cross and trespass into a scope God has not given him. He ended up with leprosy. On his forehead. Not anywhere, his forehead. See, when God wants to embarrass you, he does it so wide that everybody, see, your forehead, you can't, who covers the forehead? Leprosy. So it is not enough to desire an anointing, but it is important to know the scope to which you can desire and tap that anointing. Hallelujah. It's my prayer that we will never become Uzziah and we will stay within our means. Hallelujah. So what is the callings of God? Let me explain the callings of God. The callings of God by definition refers to the divine assignment, roles and purposes that God gives to individuals or group for his glory and advancement of his kingdom. When we say somebody has received the calling of God, we are talking about a divine assignment or role and purposes of God that is meant to glorify him and to advance his kingdom. In the book of Acts chapter 9 verse 15, when God appeared unto Ananias and asked Ananias to go and pray for Saul, who became Paul, this was what God said. Acts chapter 9 verse 15. Let what God say. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of what? Israel. That is calling. So divine calling, or we say the callings of God, is divine assignment, roles, and purposes that God gives to us for his kingdom advancement and for his glory. Now, this calling, you don't choose God. He chooses you. power who chooses you. John chapter 15 verse 16. For you have not chosen me, I have chosen you that you may what? Bear fruit. So, yes, it's God who chooses us. That is why no one can boast of it. This is what we call divine selection. Romans chapter 9 verse 16. Divine what? Selection. The callings of God are divine selection. I'm going to explain. Romans chapter 9 verse 16. Romans 9 16. So then it is not of him that willeth. Divine selection. This is how it works. Nor of him that runneth. But is of God that showeth what? Mercy. Then he called, for Jacob have I what? Love. Esau have I what? Hated. Divine selection has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God's sovereign will. And I'll come there. So callings, the assignment, roles, and the purposes of God concerning your life is not your die, is not your way, it's not what you will. It is what God has decided to you for you to do. That's why Prophet Jericho cannot say, I will that I was an evangelist. Can you do that? No. It is by God's divine purposes. You can't change it. It's divine what? Selection. Now, somebody said, but pastor, let me help you settle this. You see, when we say that God has selected people, there's divine selection, God chooses people, it sometimes sounds like it's a contradictory word to the scripture. But let's settle this. Now, whenever we are dealing with God, we have to understand two things: the divine will of God, or the sovereign will of God, and the moral will of God, also called the permissive will of God, or the desires of God. Now, let's do it. Even though it is the desire, that is the moral will of God, that all men will be saved and fulfill the destiny of the nation he has given unto them. It is God's desire. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 to 4. If you read it, it's over there. That God desired that all men would be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The same thing is over there. His sovereign will ordains that men can reject these desires. Follow me. That's why I said the sovereign will. The moral will gives everybody the permission. Okay, the moral will of God, he desires that all will be saved. And when all are saved, it means that salvation initiates the divine assignment for your life. But the sovereign will of God, by which he created man, does not give that permission. It gives the permission that men can decide to reject or accept this desire of God. So in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 to 14, said, broad is the way. Let's read it. I don't want you. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there by which go in there. This is a God said demo. Said, many chosen. And that's the divine, that is the sovereign will of God, that people can make choices. You are not a robot, you are a being with a will. And that is a sovereign decision of God. So it doesn't matter whatever God desires. The sovereign decision of God overrules it. So even though God desires that you should do this, you have the right to reject. As I'm here today, I can say that, Lord, I'll not do your work again. Yes, God can do nothing. Because his sovereign will permits me. Now let's read on. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto what? Life. And few there be that what? Find it. Sovereign will of God. That's why I said divine calling, the assignment of God, is as a result of what? His sovereign will. Let's continue on. So, this sovereign will of God is what gives birth to the calling of God, which although God desires that all to be saved, that is, which is many are called, the sovereign will enforces divine selection, which we say few are chosen. Matthew chapter 22 verse 14. That's the interpretation of that scripture. So the calling is given to all. The sovereign will decide to choose. So those by the sovereign will of God who enter the straight gate, which is life, then begins what we call the calling of God. This divine selection, which is few are chosen, is which also the calling of God comes from. And this calling of God comes in four stages, which each of these stage reveals your level of sonship, maturity, and anointing. So I was explaining the callings of God to you, that the callings of God is as a result of the sovereign will of God. And the sovereign will of God is that men have the right to choose what they want, even though God desires that all men will respond to their destiny ordination. So when men respond to their destiny ordination, they activate what we call the callings of God, which is that divine selection. And that divine selection, when it is activated, it is in four levels. And each of these levels corresponds to what? The anointing. So whenever you want to desire anointing, you must understand these levels of what? Callings. And callings of God, the divine selection, is to reveal, the four stages is to reveal, number one, our level of sonship, our maturity, and the level of what? Anointing. When I talk about level of anointing, the extent to which the power of God can manifest in your life. Are we on the same page? Now let's move on. So now, the four levels of calling and the anointing. You have to know your level. You have to know your level. When I was telling this thing, one thing I thank God is that I have not desired what is beyond me. I have not trespassed. Father, thank you. Yes. When we were in school, there were people who were, you see, these things are very risky. When you are trying to operate beyond the scope which God has given you, you make demons come and beat you for no reason. You call for unnecessary things. When daddy used to say that he has conducted deliverance to people for years, nothing has happened to him before. To some people, it sounds like stories. But when you understand this, you know that indeed he's operating within his scope and he's protected. You can't tell me that carrying this bottle of water is too much of a weight for you. But if you give this to Adua, ability. Hallelujah. So what is the first call? The first call that we all receive is a call to be saint. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, let's read it. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. With all that are in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and what? Ours. The first call that everybody receives is the call to be what? Saint. The corresponding anointing is in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. The call to be saint is a call of being set apart. You are sanctified. And the sanctification is what sets you apart. The anointing that operates at this level is in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. Now let's look at it. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in what? In you. And we need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it had taught you, ye shall what? Abide in him. The first anointing. The first anointing. They are called to be saints. Now, this level of anointing, what does it do? To be saint means to be Christ-like. This anointing's job is, number one, to teach you. Number two, refresh you. Number three, sustain you. Number four, direct and guide you. Number five, help you to grow into the image of Christ. Therefore, this level of anointing is personal. It is meant for you and you only. And in another measure, another 1,000, this level of the anointing is called the abiding what? Anointing. The Spirit of God living in you. Also called the presence of what? Of God. So, you don't need... See, when we talk about teach, we are not saying about the Holy Spirit can say A plus, no. The Holy Spirit will help you to understand, appreciate, and comprehend spiritual things. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Your ability to understand and comprehend spiritual things is because of the Spirit of God living in you. Nobody shall teach you. There's even this claim in the Chi language that Obin Chira Kraden Nyame. Yes. And it is in the same regard that when you are born again, nobody teaches you God. We only guide you to know Him well. That is our job. So the Bible said, teach the child the right way that he may not, when he grows, he does not depart. So when you become born again, the anointing that abides, that is the presence of God living in you, as 1 John chapter 2 verse 27 says, is to help you, teach you, guide you, refresh you. So if you are there, you see, that's why we see the unmet needs of people is because they have not learned to utilize this anointing. Everybody has an unmet needs in them. You know what unmet needs are? The longings and the voice of your soul. I said to somebody that there is a love you are looking for that no man can give you. And you keep chasing, you keep crashing. This one is the Holy Spirit. He refreshes you. So the first anointing that works in you is this abiding anointing. So if you see a believer longing for certain things or madness, then you find that the person has not learned to activate or practice the presence of God. In His presence, there is joy thereof. So you see that people are lacking. See, when people come to church, that is why now the church has to become some sort of an entertainment venture. Because people are not willing to sit down for the Holy Spirit to refresh them. Have you ever prayed in 30-minute tongues before? When you feel so heavy, then after that 30 minutes, you see that something has worked in you and you are relieved. Oh, it works like magic. But Prophet of God, now we have to come to church and get some people. So now if you are operate, if you are a pastor and you don't have good instrumentation, good vocalist, like some people, because now they are trying to seek that kind of void and satisfaction on madness from outside. So church has become entertainment. Because when man left the presence of God, he has to devise a way to have that same joy. And that was entertainment. But when you have the Spirit abiding in you, and you learn to activate this anointing, so what shows that indeed you are walking in the presence of God is that, you see, there's that satisfaction. Even though things are not right, but there's that joy. You can dress and you're going to church, somebody see you and say, Akwawe ni oti ye. But the person doesn't know that just yesterday, he doesn't know what happened to you. See, that's when they come and realize that you are also going through the same thing they are going through, but you are not like them. They will ask, "What? Who are you?" That is where you see that indeed there is the Spirit of God living in you, abiding anointing. Believers breaking down every day as if the Holy Spirit is not there. Where is that still small voice? I pray for you. Kalavasaya. God didn't call us to be like Christ. The saintness, we being saints, is a very rare thing the world does not have. That is why it's something you should cherish and be so proud of, that you are born again. All things are passed away. So that long acceptance you are looking for. See, some of you, they are putting so much pressure on somebody's son and daughter. We have to tell you the truth. You don't get it. Eh? You don't know. Well, do I have the married women here? You see the things we promised you. Are we giving them to you? Ask them. They'll tell you. There are some times that we forget that we are married. You say, I'm like, ask Prophet Jericho. When you wake up in the morning, you forget that you are living with somebody in the house because the pressure on your head. So I can say, baby, hard case, those movies, they are lying. So if that is what makes you feel love, and the love of God that is set abroad in the heart because of the abiding anointing, you have not tapped into it. That is the day you think that we don't love you, and that's how you begin to develop some kind of. But that is the Holy Spirit that has to refresh you, sustain you, direct and guide you. If your pastor is not around, you cannot do anything by yourself. You cannot just make one good decision yourself because you don't know how to hear the Holy Spirit for yourself. That's what I said last time. That don't come to me to ask me what is what God is saying. When the Holy Spirit is leaving, you have not asked Him first. And
And I'll repeat it. Don't come to me and ask me that, Pastor, what is God saying? When that validity you're asking me, also, the Holy Spirit is there. He can answer, you're coming to ask me. Please break through that flesh, that layer, break through and hear him. Because that is his job. And that is what makes you a saint. Christ-like. Every day, Pastor said, my pastor is the living word. You're not serious. You must come to that point where he leads you. It is an individual affair. There is no any middleman between us and God again. We all have equal access because he's in all of us. So that is the first call. This is for you. This expression of the anointing is for you. So we don't lay hands to impart joy. Please, who has received joy by impartation? Let me see by hand. Who laid that on you for you? Let me know. So I can also go for some. We don't lay hands so that God will to guide you that tomorrow do this. If you have received some, you help me. Let me. I'll go for that impartation. So that one is for you. You have to learn to give, to develop yourself to benefit from that. So if you are here and you said you have been born again, you are a saint, and you are still struggling with unmet needs, voidance of your soul, go back. That is where the place of fellowship. That's why we fellowship in his presence, not in his power. We fellowship in his what? His presence. Go back and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to know you. Envelope me with your love. Let the fear of you be planted in my heart. Let those prayers begin to flow out of you. Reveal yourself to me. My friend, my love. Begin to push for those things in with God. And you find out that there is no joy that man can give you. People think that Christians will live a miserable life. It's because many Christians have not learned to work with abiding anointing. So people think that if we don't go for club, we don't enjoy. Hey! Do you know the kind of enjoyment I get after 2 hours of soaking to your floors? You don't know. That one, no kind of alcohol or gin. That you see what is flowing under here. Imagine you don't know. You think you don't know that joy. You can't explain. Their own, after they leave the place, is gone. Our own, it lives with us wherever we go. You said the whole day, that joy. Oh, I wanted to say something, but let me reserve it. They say if you go to a compound house and you see a woman wake up early in the morning singing praises and sweeping, it's okay. Let's continue. What is the second call? The second call that we receive as Christians. So this first call is a call to be saint. And it is expected of us that we become Christ-like saints. The abiding anointing helps us. That empowerment from God, the abiding anointing, the presence of God helps us. The second call. Our second call is the call to service, also called the grace call. The grace call. There are many services God calls us to render in the house of God, which the Bible calls the grace gift or the grace call. Can we read the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 5 to 8? God does not end your call at being saints. The second call is that he called you to service. To serve in the house and to serve in his interest. That is why callings is defined as fulfilling the purpose, assignment, and roles of God to his glory and advancement of his kingdom. So when God called you, the first call is that become Christ. Then he continues to give you a second call to serve, the grace call. Now what is this? So we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members of what? Another. Let's continue verse 6. Verse 6. You're reading all the way to the verse 8. Hallelujah. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to what? The grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us what? Prophesy. According to the proportion of what? Of faith. Verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on what? Teaching. The verse 8. Or he that exhorted on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with what? Simplicity. He that ruleth, that is leadership, with diligence, He that show mercy, this hospitality, with what? Cheerfulness. These are called the grace what? Call. So some are called to show mercy, to be his hospitality. Some are called to teach. Some are called to what? Prophesy. Some are called to what? Exhort. This is what we call the grace call. It's a calling. It's a calling. So when you are called to be a saint and you faithfully, are you listening to me? Walk in that another measure, though, then you'll be brought forth into another level called the grace call. Before that, this grace call, its corresponding anointing is the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. What something? Acts 1 verse 8. You know that in the book of John, I believe the chapter 20 verse 21, the Bible said, and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That was the abiding spirit. If that was enough, Jesus wouldn't have made this statement, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So now it is this that made them what? Witnesses. When he told them to wait in Jerusalem, is because what was coming upon them was the grace call. God is going to call them to the grace call. And when that happens, there is a need for an anointing upon the Holy Ghost coming upon you. This one is what we call the power of God, not the presence of God. So the first manifestation of God's power is seen in the earth, the grace call. Hallelujah. Now let's move. The first manifestation of the anointing upon is to give you power to what? To serve. You see, when you come to church, I'm going to, and you know, the first sign that you have received the power of God is the evidence of speaking in what? In tongues. There's nobody who can serve God without that. I'm being realistic with nobody. No, you can't serve God without that. That is why it is a tradition of certain very traditional churches like Pentecost. Another thing that when meant you are born again, they organize what we call Holy Ghost what? Baptism. Because without it, you not get the calling to the grace call. Now, this is it. Before you can carry any form of service in the church, you must be empowered by the anointing upon, which is the baptism in the Holy Ghost, for you to be what? Effective. Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 6. Do not be deceived. Even sweeping, you need to speak in tongues. We have to be, you see, there are certain things we cannot bend them. And I'm going to tell you why. Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 6. Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 6. Some people think that when you come to church service, it's not a call. It's a calling to serve. It's a calling. You don't choose to serve. It is God who calls you to serve. It doesn't work like, you know, you don't just get up. No. It is God who calls you to serve. And in those days, when the numbers of the disciples had multiplied, they rose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily what? Ministration. Let's go. Let's do. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And serve. You see the word there? Serve what? Tables. Let's continue. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, seven men. Look at the qualification. Honest what? Report. What again? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may what? Appoint over this business. Now watch what happened. Where the anointing came from. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to what? Ministry of the word. Verse 5. And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Philip, Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of what? Antioch. The verse 6. Look what they did. Whom they set before the apostles, and what happened? And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, imparting the anointing. The Holy Ghost, when it comes upon you, that is where the transformer has been planted for power. That is the transformer. If I want to compare it to electrical, that is where the transformer has come. When the presence comes, that is the pole and the wires and everything that are put together. That is the presence there. But when we talk of power, then that is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. When that happens to you, that is where the transformer has been connected fully. Now power will flow well. Are you with me? So now they lay hands on it that the power to serve tables was released. Any service or grace rendered in the house of God or in the name of God, oil, anointing must be upon that service. And that is what the anointing upon that service when it comes upon you. Exodus chapter 31 verse 1 to 6. Any service. You see, some of the things we take lightly in the church, like playing instruments. I'll come to another thing we'll look at next week. Anybody who is not anointed can't speak in tongues, cannot do anything in the church. It is wrong. I'll show you why. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Exodus chapter 30, let's continue. Verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Ari, and the son of Har, of the tribe of Judah. Verse 3. And I filled him with the spirit of what? God. In wisdom and in what? Understanding. And in knowledge and in all manner of what? Workmanship. Continue. To devise cunning works and to work in gold and in silver and in brass. Verse 5. And in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of what? Workmanship. God said he. Verse 6. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have what? Commanded thee. That they may make all that. So you see, God commanded Moses to do a lot of things concerning the tabernacle, but he anointed people to do them. And when we continue in this field of the anointing, you find out that one of the manifestations of the anointing is the wisdom of God. When we talk of power, it's not about giddy, no. One of the expressions you see it in wisdom. So any form of service does not require man's wisdom. It requires the wisdom of God. Working on what you know and what you have to deliver. Why? God does not accept or permit us to use anything that does not come from him to do anything for him on his behalf or in his house. And that is why an anointing is available for every kind of service in the body of Christ. Now let me share with you a very sad story that happened in the Bible that we all talk about. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 6 to 7. You come here, do you know something? Because of grace and the mercies of God, we have taken a lot of things for granted and we are doing them. But it will catch up with some people. See, God is the same yesterday, is he not so? Today and what? God. If he did it in the days of Moses and David, you think you change in our time? The rule does not bend for us. Grace is just speaking for us. We shouldn't take it for granted. Now watch this. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. There's anointing for everything. Uzzah, were you anointed to hold the ark? This way. Every kind of service. Uzzah, were you anointed to hold the ark? No. Who sent you? When the ark for? Is it your job? Let those who have been anointed God be responsible. The fact that things are not going well, that is, you see what? So when we are calling people into service in the kingdom, in the house of God, we should not look at their experiences. However, the first thing to consider, are they anointed? Do they have the Holy Ghost? Are they full of the Holy Ghost? Before we consider other experiences. The fact that you are a chartered accountant does not make you qualified to be an accountant of the church. Because if the church man is leaving, the church account is crashing, Uzzah, who has called you? Who has called you, Uzzah? Who has called you? Or you think God didn't see that it was shaking? Anything that God has not permitted, Anything that God has not given us right to do, you will not accept it. Uzzah meant well. How can I watch the ark of the Lord fall as a child of God? But the question is that he didn't qualify because there was no anointing upon him to do that. Uzzah generation. We rather look for peace. That is the danger. That's why you see that there are a lot of things that have been done in the church and does not bring the glory of God because the people who are doing it does not carry the anointing. They don't carry the anointing. Every act of service in the house of God is done on behalf of God is to reach beyond just ministering to the body of man. You see, whenever you are doing something in the house of God on behalf of God, one of the understanding you have to understand is that it is not just ministering to the physical presence of the person. It reaches the soul and the spirit of the person. And Jesus said, for these words I minister unto you, or I speak to their spirit and their heart, life. Anything that is not done from God, source God, is not outsourced from God, empowered by God, does not produce life. Including sweeping the church. It sounds funny, but it's true. So somebody can sit here, very skilled, good, playing keyboard, but because he's not connected to life, he's producing death. Yes, because there's no anointing on it, even though it's good. So when Saul needed to be helped, you see, that's why he cannot minister spiritually to people. So you see that we do things and it tingles, especially let me hit those people, instrumentalists and song ministers. They are gifted, but they are not anointed. So when they come, they minister, and then the emotions of people are triggered, but their spirit are not touched. So the demons that are tormenting them, like it was tormenting Saul, cannot leave them. But if you find somebody like David, who is skilled and still anointed, as they stand to minister, demons respond, because any work of God we do in the house or on behalf of God is to minister to both the body, the soul, and the spirit. That is why even common food people will eat, they said they must be full of what? The Holy Ghost. Things of the world ministers to the body and at most to the soul. But when it comes to kingdom business, it transcends beyond the soul, it goes to the spirit. And when we are dealing with spirit, we are talking about matters of what? Life. And what gives life? It's the spirit. And that is the anointing. We release life. So don't think that the things you are doing here, you don't need to be anointed. You not pray. You get up, you want to do what you feel like doing. It could just be just taking pictures as or videos as somebody's doing right now. But you need an anointing on it. Because somebody can watch that video, there to be an encounter. There's a way God can lead you to take a short session, and that is going to carry fire. It's an anointing. It's expressions of God's anointing. So don't ever think. And there are anointings for every kind of what? Service. Oh, you don't know? Oh, okay. Let me do illustration. Have you ever bought something? You see they have written something 12V. 24V. Have you seen some before? It talks about voltage. It talks about the power it cannot accumulate. The kind of power you need to exhort is not the same power you need for to prophesy. That is why you have to tap that anointing. So if you want to prophesy, you have to catch that anointing. You need to connect to the one with the 24V. You have to find that it's a voltage system. So there are various kinds of manifestations of God's power in the church. Everyone, every job, every service in God has its unique power it works with. Yes, that is why, see, somebody like Sister Portia has been cooking for years and she still feels it. You try it for one camp, you give up. You give up. She can cook from morning and she doesn't look like she has broken down. How many of you have noticed that before? Yes. You think it is just a skill? Try it. Try to do things that you are not paid for. And you see whether it is easy to do them when you are not anointed. You are small one, we are asking you to do. You see how you are struggling. Even this one you are doing here. You think the anointing is not necessary? It's not necessary. Try to do things for free you are not paid for and see how you can how long you continue in it if you are not anointed, empowered by God to do it. That's why, yes, it's not easy to do things for free. Even those that you are paid for, is it easy to do them? Yes. So there is a grace call, and there is an anointing, and this one we tap. So if you want to, you see somebody doing well in exhortation and you desire, you can tap it. You can tap. And when you see everybody is within, when you are born again, everybody is automatically qualified for the grace call anointing. So this is where the tapping starts from. Catching the anointing starts from this place. So you see somebody doing this, you catch the anointing and you deliver because you want to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's move on to the third call. Let's quickly rush through it and then you close and look at the anointing that is available there. The third call is the governmental office call, the fivefold ministry. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. The anointing corresponding to this is Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. Now, there's a difference between grace call and office call. God's prophet is there. I'll keep using him as an example. We call prophet Jericho prophet not because he prophesied, but he is in the call of his what? Office. It's not a grace call. What he does is not a grace call. What Elvis does is a grace call. What prophet Jericho does is not a grace call. And I'm going to show you the difference. Now here's the danger. If Elvis assumed that he is in that level and assume himself and want to act and behave like him, that is why Uzziah issue happened to him. Leprosy. Are you with me now? Do you understand? Because I want to help you to understand how to catch anointing. You see, the anointing operating in his life at that dimension of the prophetic, see, there are certain things you see and say, nothing happened to him. If Elvis try, you have to organize some deliverance sessions for him. Prophet Jacob, if you remember, there was one upon a time at the camp meeting, you saw something about a particular child, a guy, a church he connected to, and the altar, and he said, this one I'll not say it because it's above me. And he went to Daddy Joe and he told Daddy Joe everything and let Daddy Joe handle the thing. Do you know what he did? Even though he's anointed, you know that level, it is not his calling, no. If he had said it and acted by this time, wajibi asenho. Yes. Just act in your scope. So you see somebody operating a level of anointing and you want to go and desire it and get hold of it and you want to assume that it, you, the demons over there will weigh you. Say, Paul, I know. The Jesus you mentioned at this level, I know him. But you, we have checked the list. You are not here. So why are you trespassing? At that place, you have already shifted from your covering. You are on your own. Governmental office. Acts chapter 13. The anointing that comes along. Watch. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets. Have you seen it? And what? Teachers. These were grace call. They were operating over there in the grace call. As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have what? Didn't God call them already? What teachers not more yet there? Was it not a calling? When they were teachers and prophets, was it not a calling? But this is a different call. And watch what happened. Because it was a call, the verse, next verse. And when they had fasted and prayed, what did they do? And laid their heart hands on them, they sent them away. You see, another laying of hands. Tables, hands were laid. This one, hands was also what? Laid, impartation, anointed. This is the corresponding anointing. And you already know the fivefold I'm talking about in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Is there? These are people God has been. Now let's look at the number one. If somebody is called into fivefold ministry by the teachings of Apostle Jesus, our Father, there are three things that confirms it. Three things. Number one, mandate. First thing, mandate. This stands for the authorization into bracket. A clear call to stand or operate in that office. Authorization. You have been authorized. A clear call. It has nothing to do with, somebody said, this has to do with something you must be so sure of and not that somebody ought told you. Before somebody will tell you, you know very well. The first sign that you have entered the calling of what? The governmental office. It comes with its own anointing, the specific anointing. Is that I have mandate. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 to 17. Listen to what Paul said. Galatians 1 15 17. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, are you there? By his what? Grace. Verse 16, listen to what said. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the what? The hurt. And this was talking about Acts chapter 13 incident that happened to him. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and what? And blood. Immediately. I conferred. See, the calling was so clear that he needed not, see, the governmental call. If you need somebody to confirm, you are that is not a governmental call. You have not gotten there. It's clear. Mandate is clear. Ah, do you need to be told that you have masters? You. I'm asking you. Now you have the mandate to do something because of what you have. Eh? That is what I'm talking about. She doesn't need to be told that she has. But if someone had told her you could have done that some time ago, would you have believed it? But now you believe that you can do it because you have what it takes to what? To do it. When you were in school, prophet, and they tell you could be a lawyer. By that time you knew it, right? That you can go and say it. But now you need to be told. He can, because now he has the mandate by proof. So he's not going to confront them. Am I a lawyer? Can I be in this court? That's what many of us have become. Oh, my father in the law said I'm a prophet. So I'm going to prophesy. You are calling yourself for beatings, demonic beatings. Don't confer titles that. Don't confirm titles on yourself when you're not there. Clear mandate. You know what you have been called to do. He conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 18. What did he say? Oh, 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. You hear what he said? That does not mean he was proud. He was just trying to tell that it was so clear. There was no confusion in the thing. But I went into Arabia and returned again into what? Damascus. That Arabia he went was the 3 years encounter he had. And he had a revelation where he saw up to the, he was taken even to the 10 heavens. He didn't waste Apostle Paul. Apostle Peter. If you are called apostle, what are some of the things that the guy, it was clear. If you know you have received a governmental office calling, that comes with it anointing. The first thing is the mandate. You know it. Number two, you have an altar. And these are things that our Father and the Lord has taught us. That's why some of us, we are safe and sound. Because we know our level. We don't try it. Altar. This stands for your personal dealings as a result of your relationship with God. Joel chapter 2 verse 17. What are the components of your altar? Number one, the things God deals with you privately contribute to your altar. Number two, personal instructions from God contribute to your altar. Number three, things that God takes you through. These three things, they come together to form your altar. Anybody who has a governmental call has an altar. Paul said, "This is a trouble of all. I bear the marks of Christ." What have you suffered? When Archbishop is talking about how he became an apostle, did you hear them? Do you listen to him? In the PNDC era, the things he has gone through to be who he is. What have you suffered? He said, "Apostle." One apostle.
That's what Paul said. I, Paul, an apostle called by God and not by men. Some of you are called by men. Because they said you are apostles, so you have accepted it. One apostle. What have you suffered? What is the instruction God has given you? What is the personal instructions? Personal. And that you have answered to those instructions. You are here calling yourself, you are operating an office. Your time, it will catch up with you. When it catch up with you, we will all be there. We will pray for you. When it catch up with you, that one, we assure you that. But as for the heat, you will feel it alone. So the personals are not an altar. Then, Joel chapter 2 verse 17. The third thing, the person has a porch or a platform. A porch or a platform. Now, the porch or a platform is the fruit of the mandate God has given a person. The fruit of the mandate. So if God has called somebody an apostle and it's clear, or God has called somebody a prophet and it's clear, when the person stands, you see it. You see him on his porch, the platform. You see the fruit, the manifestation of what a prophet does, an apostle does, a pastor does, a teacher does. So if God has called you a teacher or a pastor, and you will see the fruit by which you shepherd people, we will see it. Now, when God gives you people, we can see true act of shepherding. Who is the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. So you see that people will come under your grace and they don't want. Now you say, this is indeed a pastor. You see how those who are under his, who are part of his sheepfold, they're handling. And when somebody's a teacher, see, when somebody's called a prophet, you will see. It is not just word of knowledge or word of wisdom, but you see a complete manifestation of who a prophet is. And you know, this is the person who's able to bring down the counsel of God. The counsel of God. The person will bring it to you. When a prophet begins to speak to you, it is like the El Elyon is speaking to you. He opens up the counsel of the Lord to you. And what it means that there are certain specifics, he will begin to speak to you by revelation, word of knowledge. By revelation, word of wisdom. And you see directions coming. He will not tell that I'm a prophet. You said, are you a prophet? Just as the woman at the well asked Jesus. By the time Jesus was done prophetically, he said, are you a prophet? You see the porch and the platform. These three things, when they come together, they enforce or determine what we call the governmental office, what? Call. Therefore, the difference between a call to service and a call to governmental office is that there's a difference. One, which is the call to service, is only empowered to deliver in a particular field. But when it comes to governmental office, the person does not only deliver in that field, the person is so resourceful that he's able to build others to deliver the same. So you cannot call yourself a prophet if you have not raised prophets. Check in scriptures. All those who were called prophets raised prophets. So hear that Samuel had companies of what? Prophets with him. Elijah raised Elisha. You always hear the prophetic what? Company. Because a true prophet raised prophets. You are resourceful. A true teacher raised teachers. Not only do you deliver that mandate, you are so resourceful that you're able to come with curriculum, system, structures that people can be raised. That's why this ministry, there will be a lot of apostles. Because that is a true apostle. And you can see the structures, the teachings, the resources he has given us. When you look at them, you know, this person is indeed operating in an office. That's the difference. So somebody can be here and prophesy to you, but you can be around him for 10 years. Nothing will happen to your life. That's not a prophet. That is a grace call. But when you're with a prophet, it's just a matter of time. You catch it. You begin to operate in that place. Hallelujah. Let's move on. So in other words, those who operate in the office of the government calling are able to impact and train others to deliver in the same field.
another of what? Their kind. Now, how do we realize that you are operating the office, the governmental office? This is how it goes. It's realized through several impartations of the anointing at the service level. So the various impartations you get at the service level, they accumulate together to form what we call the specific anointing. Hence, before somebody will come into a full office calling, there are impartations that will initiate the calling. So you'll be there, you have a dream. Then a particular man of God and come and pray for you. You understand? And call you and start to teach you. I knew there was a strong apostolic calling on me. The reason I don't talk about it is because I am waiting for the other side to manifest before I say it. So I keep to what I'm doing now. My grace call. My grace call is what I'm delivering as a prophet. My office has not set in yet. But I have had an encounter with Apostle Selman 3 times. Archbishop, yes. And Daddy has, I think Prophet Jericho even sent me a word about me and Apostle Selman 2 times. And Daddy, so I know that I am on that path. I've been given the invitation into that office of the apostle. I know. You don't need to tell me, I know. So you see that the person will be initiated. So it comes with several impartations of the anointing at the grace level. Then it will accumulate into the special anointing. And the one aspect is that there are going to be impartation for invitation into that field. So you read a book, you do this, and you see you're catching it. That, you see how we catch the anointing. So you begin to catch the anointing through impartations. Then we have what we call the endorsement or the ordination or the commission side of the impartation. It accumulates what you call specific anointing. Therefore, the office calling works with what we call the specific anointing. And specific anointing is the accumulation of the various impartation, the anointings you caught at the level of what? Grace calling. That is why you find out that before God will put you into a specific role, you will do many things in the church. Have you noticed that? Jack of all trade, master of none. So one person, you find out that you have done teaching, evangelism, follow up, Bible studies, everything. You do everything. Do you know what God is trying to do to you? You are catching an anointing. A time will come. So some of them are just calling you into that office. Then one day, the commission will come. And that one, you confer not with flesh and blood. When the commission comes, you move into it. So if you are here, you want to become a prophet by calling, office calling, it is not just one anointing. No. Various forms of impartations, anointing, will accumulate to form that specific anointing. Because offices have many tools and many activities you do come together to form that office. So as he sits here, if you study him closely, you will see signs of teaching in him. You will see signs of other things that has accumulated to make him the prophet. You can't just get up and no, it doesn't work that way. So he's not a prophet because he has word of knowledge. Because he mentioned your telephone number. No. Far be it. It is accumulated what? Hallelujah. Time is fast, man. Last one. So if you are, if you are in that level, so now as I'm here, I can desire the anointing on the life of an apostolic calling. Because I've received the invitation. And it's safe. I'll be safe. Oh, nothing will happen to me. If you have not received the invitation, you try it. So in as much as we want to catch an anointing, we should know which level of anointing we should catch. Some of us, you have to focus on catching the anointing at the grace level, the grace calling. And as we are doing it, you see that it's going to prepare us into the apostolic calling or the office calling. Finally, eldership or elder statement calling. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. The anointing that corresponds to this. I'm just going to read through it. Now, this one, there are only, as our father taught us, there are only few people who have reached this level of God's call. Very few people. Very, very few. And in fact, very few of them are still in that level. I'm going to show you some things that we do that is putting us at risk, which is for these people. Then I'll close. Then we go. That one, see, this one doesn't even actually matter to us, but I want you to just desire that God will take us to that level. They have crossed the office. They may have titles as office holders, but they are not office holders. We call them the elder statesmen. Elders of the body of Christ, not elders of the church, local church. There are three kinds of elders in the Bible. We have elders, the Bible talks about as elderly people. Paul said to Timothy, give honor to the elders of the church. He was talking about the elderly people. Then we have elders that are set in as leaders in the church. In the book of Acts, when Paul met the elders of Ephesus, they were leaders of the church. These are local churches' elders. So they are there to rule. Then we have elder statesmen. These are people who are elders to the body of Christ. This one, you are not your colleagues. You are not your co-equal. Don't try. I'm going to show you some things about them. Just be very careful. The anointing is called the what? Special anointing. Can I give you one example? Do you know Archbishop Benson Idahosa? He was an elder. That's why he could do the things he was doing. You see, now in Nigeria, there are people like Umar Okpai. That man, he's an elder. Don't try. See, he can stand arrows if you like, shoot. They will shoot him. Not you. If you go and try it, you we arrange your funeral service tomorrow. Elder statesman. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Peter was talking to the elders of the church, whom also an elder. Now he's talking about what? Himself. He was not talking about the local elders. He's talking about himself as what? An elder. Let's look at another example. Third John chapter 1. When the book of John was Apostle John was writing, look at how he was addressed. Third John chapter 1. The elder unto the well beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. He was talking about John, the apostle. He didn't call him apostle. He said he called him what? Elder. He's an elder because he's in a realm. So these are the people I call them in the levels of the another 1,000. I call them that these are principalities. You just even need only one in Ghana here. They can do a lot of damage. Just one. For the whole country, if you find even find out, we have only like three or four of them. Now, what are the things? Now, these elders, there are 4 degrees of them, 4 levels, according to what our father taught us. Number one, we have elders who are adorned by robes only. Their clothes, robes. You know them by their robes. Spiritual. God, that one, God will reveal it to you. You know it physically. Number two, we have those who are adorned by robes and then their scepter. They have a scepter and a robe. Then we have those who have the robe, the scepter, and the crown. Even the levels of the elders, they are levels. So you see that there are some people who are elders over a region. Those can be the robes. There's a man of God in Cape Coast. He is the one who started the CCC church over there. He's an elder over there in Cape Coast. No man of God has come to that city and broke through without seeing that man. When you see him and said, you, I release you. It is like wildfire. We call him grandpa because he's the spiritual father of Reverend Roland. He's the pastor for CCC over them. He's an elder. See, that's why you go to some places. These people are the one who can unlock the place for you. The demons in that territory, they all know him. Nobody, they don't dare him. Oh. So if you come and they find out that you are associated with him, Moman and Kawai, ni papa anyway, Moman and Kawai. They don't look for trouble. There are elders over this Accra area, pastors. You may not even know that. You've not seen them on screen. They are hidden. They are there. Elders. God must help you to see them. And these are the people who provide what we call the ultimate covering. Yes. Then the last one. There are those who have robes, scepter, crown, and then a throne. These ones, they are very dangerous. Now let me tell you some few things about them that you think you have reached there. We are not there. One. These are people who bear the title my servant. My servant, the one God himself calls them my servant. Can I give an example? Book of Numbers chapter 12 verse 68. These are the people that when you speak against them, in their presence or absence, you not go scot-free. You see, they can insult us. Let them try elders of the church. You'll be hearing stories of people spoke against Archbishop Benson Idahosa. And things started happening. When you heard those stories, you have sacked you, and the following the person was sacked. He's an elder. You can't sack anybody, my brother. You can't sack anybody. You have not gotten there. It is God. The only way we can sack people is that I'll come there. How we will do it. But you, by your authority, you cannot do that. These are people, I beg you, when you see people, if, when they have done something wrong and people are saying things about them, shh, don't say some more. Because they, if you speak ill about them in their presence or absence, watch. And he said, hear not now my words. If there be any among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in visions, and I'll speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7. My servant Moses. Do you hear it? The title God gives them, my heart. Servant what? So David have I found. My servant David is not so. Who is what? Faithful in all my house. Numbers chapter 1. Continue. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against? Again, you see what I said? My heart, servant Moses. Please, those people, you have to pray for God to open your eyes to see them, so that you don't go there. Because there's no, you no escape. When you speak against them, ha, you pay the price. That's why it seems like Archbishop Idausa, nobody says his mother in Nigeria. Because the man has gotten to a place that God calls him myself, and those people, God takes their matter so serious that if you mess with them, there are angels who come and deal with you in the night. Some will lead to death. Some will lead to some distractions. It's not because that God is weak, no, because of where they have gotten to. You can't speak. You have to be careful. Number two, they become institutions and reforms. So you see that most of the times when they die, their death marks a new end, an end of a move. Somebody like Kenneth Hagin. Somebody like Billy Graham. These are people, we call them elders. They are institution. When they die, that is signalized a change or an end to an era. You don't try them. The third thing, these are people who do not enforce decrees. Do you know what we do? If we want to sack somebody from office, we have to go and find from scripture what we can use to what? Sack you, and then we enforce it. That one we can do it. Do you understand? But these people, if they want to fire you or want to kill you, they just say, according to my word, you are dead. You are gone. You are gone. They don't need to find scripture. They just have to speak. So you say, we enforce decrees. We don't make decrees. These are people, when they speak, God act. They don't need permission from God. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 26. Elijah, those Elijah type, according to, he said that God said, I said, according to my word. Now, when you see men of God who begin to say that according to my word, and it happens, run away. Don't go and misbehave there. There's one person in Ghana here, I'll not mention. He's there, but you people don't know he is. Let me say it. Archbishop Ajinasari, please shut up. When you see people are saying his things, mind your business. Even if you saw some, walk away. That man is an elder statesman in Ghana here. He may not be making much noise, but why not here when Nogokpo people came to give him a verdict? Is he not alive? What did he even came to add more salt to the hot situation? He said he went to organize crusade over there and crash them. Is he not there? What has happened to you? You go and try. I know Nogokpo very well. He's still alive and strong, powerful. You try it. When they ask you to come, you don't go. If you are not an elder statesman, you say you don't go. Unless the elder statesman cover you. As David said, the one who seeketh you also seek after me. But as long as you are with me, you are safe. Unless you run to their covering. If not, you know, say Nogokpo day. That confirmed the word of his servant and performed the counsel of his messengers. Do you hear it? He confirms the word of what? His servant. And that's what? Perform the counsel of his messengers, his servants. These are people who do not enforce decrees only. They make decrees. So they say this. If they put a curse on you, it will take God. When Jacob put a curse on Reuben, it took another elder statement to reverse it. Moses. When I say you, as water, as what? As unstable as water, so is your life. Sister, you need another elder statement. No, prayer fasting will change that. That's why before you get to that level, God will not promote some of us. Before you get there, you can't say such things. Because if you kill people, if Archbishop Dankamila want to respond to what people are saying in Ghana here, like by this time, every week, funeral. It's true. Do you really get it? The kind of things people say about him, if you want to respond, every week, funeral. So you see, God will work on you that when you get to that point, that anointing is called special out anointing. You see, that is the anointing the Bible calls it, fattens the yoke. Because of the anointing, the yoke shall be broken. They are ones who are fattened. They say, Omo yobolo, anointing obolo. I show moi the obolo, anointing. This level, I don't desire. I'm not there yet. When God give us the call, then we enter there. But I don't think it is now. That would be like some 20, 30 years to come. What am I trying to say to you? Don't be hearing me and say, I according to my word. You will suffer it. That's why I want to teach you, so that you know the right anointing to catch. If your own is grace calling, catch the anointing over there. If your own is what? The office calling, catch the anointing over there. Don't go and trespass into where God has not called you into. It comes with leprosy. So as we desire to catch an anointing, we have to understand that there are levels of the anointing as a result of what? The various callings. I pray for you that your desire for anointing will not be the downfall of you. No. And I pray that every level you are right now, whether it's the grace or the office, may God give you the ability to catch any anointing in that place. In the mighty name of Jesus, we want to pray and say that, God, any anointing we need. Some of you, there are many services that God wants to use you. See, especially in the place of the grace calling, God wants to use you. God wants to use you for anything, available for anything. So you are the same person that God wants to pass healing through you, win souls through you, pastor people. It are various anointing that will come to you. Let me tell you, if you don't allow God to pass the various anointing to you, catch all these various anointing, you will find out that you will not be able to enter into the next phase of the calling. The Bible says, many are called, a few are chosen. I pray that you'll be part of those who will be chosen. I pray that you'll be part of those who will be chosen. It's my prayer that one day I'll die as an elder statesman. Oh, I'll die as an institution, a system. My death shall be a mark, a definition of an era. That is my desire. That is my desire. That is why I will stay faithful and be a servant and be diligent and make the sacrifices. I want you to lift up your voice and say, Lord, help me. Help me that my the anointing will correspond to the calling upon my life. Help me to have understanding. Some of you have to pray more that God will help you to comprehend that level of the anointing that you need to operate in. There are anointings that are coming on many people here for many services unto the God. Henceforth, never do anything without the anointing. Never do anything without the anointing. Never do anything without the anointing. Pray that, Lord, help me. It could be sweeping. See, I said there is no way you can do things for free if you are not empowered by God. It is not. You cannot sustain it. But when the power comes upon you, with gladness you do the work of God. That is, the Bible said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. With gladness you will be committed to the cause of the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Just
breathe your name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.